Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
Hello, and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all, episode 328. I'm Sanjay Parekh.
And I'm Adam Walker, and we're going to talk about AI. A lot about AI and Google today. That's like, it's not that AI is taking over the world. It's that it's taking over all of our conversations. Like, anybody that just had family time over Easter weekend, like, y'all were all talking about AI. Yeah. You know you were. We're talking about it. It's fine. It's just, that's how it slowly takes over the world. So,
right. Yeah. So it's actually not taking over the world. It's just taking over all the conversations around the world.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Which is better than politics. Like, I would much rather get into a family discussion about AI than about politics. So that's probably a win, I think.
I wonder if anybody storms out on a discussion of AI. That's probably not a thing, right?
I mean, I think there's the Skynet versus non-Skynet naysayers. So I think there's
probably some Star Wars and Star Trek. Is that like Skynet versus non-Skynet?
Yeah, maybe. Except I think you're with Star Wars and Star Trek, you're arguing about the quality of something. With the other one, you're arguing about the doom of the human civilization. So
eventuality that we're all going to die because of the robots rising up.
Yeah, it's a little different, but that's how it goes. So, all right, listen, let's dive in though. We got a good episode for you today. I'll start our article one, generative AI develops potential new drugs for antibiotic resistant bacteria. So this is interesting because I did not realize the number of combinations of chemicals that are possible for making a drug and the problematic thing of like, they can't just like a lot of, they tried AI before, and it would combine chemicals that weren't like, it was impossible to combine them, literally impossible. So they kind of put some parameters around it, and it's able to, and basically they're using AI's ability to what's the word? Not hyperventilate. That's the wrong word.
That's when Skynet happens. No. We all hyperventilate.
Hallucinate. Yeah. So using AI's ability to hallucinate to come up with new potential drug combinations that might be more antibiotic resistant against bacteria, which is kind of cool, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. As long as the AI allows us to have these antibiotics and doesn't hold it back from us so that we all makes it easier for Skynet to kill us.
I just like that they're actually using the AI hallucination for the benefit of humankind versus telling us bad information that we then, base our lives around. So
telling us lies about history and lies about other stuff. Yeah. Talking about lies, New York City's AI chatbot, touted by New York Mayor Adams, tells businesses to break the law. I mean, if your thing told you to do it, then I guess it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, when you put a chatbot on your website to answer basic business questions about like, do I need to hire these people or do I need to adhere to this,
to minimum wage standards?
Do I need to adhere to minimum wage standards? And the chatbot on the website of the, governing organization says, no, you don't. It's kind of hard to argue against that.
It's going to be hard to then sue somebody and just be like, but your site said so.
Yeah. Like I found the information on your website, but the web information was from a chatbot. Yeah. But the chatbot was on your website. Like that's.
You did that. Not
you
me.
Did that. Yeah.
So.
And I think the lesson here is I think, back to the lesson from the car dealer from last episode, like we can experiment with chatbots. But chatbots ultimately are going to, I feel like chatbots are inherently going to adapt to what the user of the chatbot wants to get from it. So like, it's kind of like having a conversation with a 3-year-old, okay, Bobby, we can have Brussels sprouts for dinner or we can have ice cream. Which do you want? obviously, they're going to, pick the ice cream. So I think you can do the same thing with chatbots, just not with ice cream.
I thought the third option was to combine those two into one. Brussels sprouts ice cream.
Obviously, Brussels sprouts ice cream is where it's at. I'm going to start a new company about that. It's going to be great.
Is that the name of the company? Yeah. Brussels sprouts ice cream? But you don't make ice cream. Brussels cream.
Brussels cream. Yeah, it's going to be called Brussels cream.
But you don't make ice cream. You make paper dolls. I couldn't think of something good.
This
that
is already
you made.
Going way off the rails, man. I don't even know how to respond to that. All right. Next up, ChatGPT no longer requires an account, but there's a catch. The catch is that something about it gives you like simplified results or something. Right. I forget how they framed it. And then when they were asked to specify, like, well, what does that mean? They gave a very long non-answer to what that means. And so it's very unclear what the difference is between logging in and using ChatGPT and not logging in and using ChatGPT is, other than when you don't log in, they're for sure using everything you give it for all of the learning and everything else. So
here's the thing that I suspect right now.
Okay.
Humans are not actually running that company anymore. I think it's actually ChatGPT running ChatGPT.
It's running itself. Okay. Yeah. That's
why it doesn't know. It's just like, yeah, I don't know.
They're like, do you want it to mean that? What do you want it to mean? We can make it mean whatever
you want.
Do you want
Brussels sprouts or ice cream? Which one is it?
Or Brussels cream. That's the question. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Something that I do want, and I've been using still because I was refusing to give up on it.
Man.
Instagram co-founder's AI-powered news app, Artifact, may not be shutting down after all. So, are you still using it, Adam, or did you delete it?
Okay, listen, man. It was dead to me. The minute that it came out that they were going to shut it down, I was like, we're done. I can't emotionally and mentally invest in an app that I love any longer, knowing that it's just gonna be yanked from me. I can't do it. I don't want to do that. So no, it's dead to me. It's gone.
I can't love you if you're gonna die on me.
Yeah. So
you have pets, don't you?
I have children. I have a space. Like, I will invest in those. That's a very different conversation, Sanjay. Okay. Like that is, I'll invest in all of those knowing they will one day leave me or I'll leave them, whatever.
But this is different. Need to live forever. So I never deleted it because I love the app so much. It's been such a great job in surfacing content for me.
Yeah.
And for Tech Talk, y'all, I tag things all the time. So it's still on my phone. I'm still using it. And when I saw this, I was like, yes, maybe I'm part of the solution. Maybe I'm part of the reason why they're not shutting down. Because they're like, well, man, there's this guy in Atlanta that just refuses to uninstall the app. Let's figure something out here.
They said in the article like a couple things. Number one, it took them far less staff to manage the app than they thought. So actually just the two co-founders are managing it now by themselves, which is interesting. Number two, they still said they're still probably going to shut it down. They're just not sure when, and they're trying to whatever. And I think in the article, the author said, you know, in parentheses, like maybe there's an exit. So like, I think that's probably the play they're trying to get is like, they're trying to get the app in the user base picked up by somebody that will do something with it. So which is, I mean, that makes sense. Why not? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, so. Exactly. So I hope that happens. I think it's a great app. I think it still surfaces stories that I would not have found any other way. So
okay. I'm down.
I still like it. Yeah.
I like it. All right. Next up, the Alt Store, an alternative app store coming to the EU, will offer Patreon-backed apps. I kind of love the Patreon-backed apps model. Like
I saw this and I was like, this is what competition does for you.
That's right.
Because Apple would have never integrated Patreon into the App Store.
Yeah.
This is brilliant. I love this so much.
So good.
It's so super smart. And honestly, Apple should be happy with this result right here because the only thing that's going to happen from this is they're going to sell more hardware.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Big time. Yeah. And I mean, and I love like that, like the idea here is like the apps in the store, you'll be able to download the apps and they'll say, hey, for this app, we're requesting a $1 a month donation or whatever, $2 a month donation. So it's sort of donation based, but it's helping the app creators grow and sustain, you know, what they're doing for the community. And I think it's a brilliant move. It's the right way to go. And they don't have to skim the Apple's 35% off the top. So it even more goes to creators, which is great.
And then because it's on Patreon, you can hook it into so many other things.
Yeah,
you know, you can hook it into like, oh, once you're a donor, you have access to Discord and special channels there, or, you know, you get access to these eBooks or these posts or podcast episodes or whatever it is.
Speaking of Discord, I didn't tag the article, but Discord is toying with adding advertising into their system. So for those Discord users, man, it might be coming down hard soon because that seems like a terrible idea. But I mean, they got to monetize, I get it. But adding an ad seems like a truly, truly terrible
idea. I know,
idea.
But they've done it through these like power-ups and things like that. And I mean, I don't know their numbers. I don't know if they've shared those numbers.
Right.
I assume that they were doing okay. And because they're everywhere. I mean,
they're everywhere.
I don't know how many servers they need to run all of this stuff, but
yeah,
I think that's going to be unfortunate if they go down that path.
Yeah.
Talk about what else is unfortunate. AT&T resets account passcodes after millions of customer records leak online. Oh, you know those records that they said, no, those are not ours.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're theirs. They were. Yeah, 100% they're theirs.
Yeah.
And I've been an AT&T customer for quite a long time.
Very long time. Same.
So yeah. I'm sure my data, because this is from like 2019 or so and before. Yeah. So even if you weren't a customer and you were a customer sometime in the past, if you aren't a customer now, yeah, your data still might be there. So
they gotcha.
Congratulations. Your data is leaked again. Mm. At this point, does it even matter? You should have credit freezes on all your accounts.
That's right.
At all your credit agencies.
Yep.
Because everybody has your social security number.
Everybody does. If they want it, they've got it. It's not that hard. You should just know it. Yeah. All right. Next up, Google pledges to destroy browsing data to settle, quote, incognito lawsuit. So this is the browsing data they collected while people were in incognito mode. You know, that mode where they should not have been collecting browsing data. That's the data they're going to destroy finally after a lawsuit.
Yeah. The data that shouldn't exist because you were incognito.
I don't even have the words. It's, like, I don't even,
you know, they could have just solved this by not having a fancy name for this mode and just said less cookies mode.
Yeah. For
if
real.
They just said less cookies mode.
Yeah.
It would have been like,
or like no plugins mode or like no, yeah. or no extensions mode or what. I mean, yeah.
Nothing saved mode.
It frustrates me beyond measure that they captured that data in incognito, but they did. And now they're going to finally destroy it. So that's
so good for all of you all.
Yeah. So,
in other Google news, Gmail launched 20 years ago on April Fool's Day,
yep.
which was yesterday for us yep. as we're recording this.
Right.
You know, I kind of feel like every April Fool's Day, it's like, they're finally going to be just like, yeah, we're shutting it down.
It makes them way too much money.
Things, and they're just like, yeah, shut it down. Yeah. It's fine.
We keep talking about that, which is actually why I tagged this next one. So this conversation, Google Podcast it's actually shutting down today, the day we're recording this, April 2nd. So you will not be listening to this on Google Podcasts. It goes back to like, I fundamentally have a distrust of Google. Whenever they have anything new that comes out or anything, like, I just don't trust it. Like,
Give it a good 8 years. If it's still around then maybe try to start.
Yeah, I mean, if it's something like Google Maps, like, that's so core to them, like, okay, I still actually don't use Google Maps, but like, maybe. But like, really, like, I don't trust any other products to stay around. Ever.
Yeah. Honestly, like, every day I'm a little afraid when I get in the car, the days that I do get in the car, and I try to pull up Waze, like, is this the day that Waze is shut down? Is this the day that it's gone?
Is today the day that it's gone?
Is today the day that I'm sad? Because now I'm going to have to be like, oh God, all the save locations that I have on Waze, I need to now port to something else. Because that's it. So it's not even just the things that they start themselves. It's the things that they buy.
Well, that's like, even worse, honestly.
FeedBurner is still out there, but man, that thing looks so creaky and old at this point.
It's not good.
And it's just like, man, they had such an opportunity. And like, why are you doing it? Like, why are they spending money buying these things and then not executing well on them? Like, I don't understand what's happening inside. They have like no plan when they buy these things. Like,
right. Yeah.
That thing looks cool. Let's buy it. It's shiny. Are we going to use it? I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I feel like at Google, there's got to be like a sunset department. And like, as soon as they buy something, it's like, all right, the deal closed. Like, bring in the sunset department. Start making an end of life plan. We just got a new company. Okay. All right. Here we go.
Time for the weird wiki segment.
Abominable snowman.
He's not an axe murderer.
One of the TAs turned out to be a bot.
First up in weird and wacky, SpaceX Falcon Heavy rocket photobombs the moon in an incredible award-winning shot.
Yeah.
This picture looks incredible.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
And they said like it was just in front of the moon for fractions of a second.
Yeah. I mean, whoever was waiting for that to happen, like, props to you, because, man, that's pretty amazing.
Okay. So the other thing is they said in the article, they figured this out 48 hours and they had to start scouting locations for this thing. Okay. How do you figure this out that this is going to happen? Like, that's the part I don't even understand.
I feel like you'd have to have like some serious math background to sort of know the trajectory of the rocket and the path to the moon. Where are they going to cross? Where can I take the photo from? What's the right light? Where, like, I don't even, it's beyond me.
I have a hard time with things plugged into my computer working. And how am I supposed to figure out that there's going to be a rocket in front of the moon?
You're going
to
ask AI
for a split second.
And they're going to hallucinate and actually send you to Antarctica and be like, here's where you got to go. Let me book the flights for you. And then you're going to think you're on flights in Antarctica, you're going to end up in Honduras for some reason. And that's how it goes.
I would have thought it would have been like on Saturn, there's this moon Io. Yeah. So if you're there at the right time, this rocket's totally going to
be fun too. But I do kind of look forward to the day when AI becomes your travel agent. Right. But for whatever reason, it hallucinates. And so you think you're for example, apparently I saw this meme on social media and it said, just think about this. Austria has a counter for people that come there thinking it's Australia. There's a counter. How many people is AI going to send to Austria? That's what I want to know.
And Paris, Texas, right? How many people are showing up there? Where's the Eiffel Tower?
Yeah. That's a short flight to Paris. Let's take it. It's only 2 hours from...
It's only $150. Let's go. I've always wanted to go to France.
Why would we not... a whole nother thing. I did see an article about a new airline, and I don't know where it's located, but you buy a ticket not knowing where you're going. They have this list of destinations, and you buy the ticket and you show up, and even at the airport, they still don't, you literally don't know where you're going until you step off the plane having landed there. Then you find out what city. I'm like, I kind of love that. I think I would do that.
See, I think the other end of this is what they're not telling you is look, we only have $87 for fuel. Well, so however far our $87 gets us, that's where we're dropping you
off. That's true too. It's definitely a low budget airline, but I'm willing to fly all the low budget airlines. I'm good. The doors can be popping off. I'll be strapped in. I'm all set. I got my seatbelt on. As long as that plane's in the air, I'm good. I get a breeze in the face. We're all set. So
the exit row has suddenly become not as attractive as a place to sit.
Listen,
on the
man,
plane.
I trust the bolts in the seat, and I trust the seatbelt. So I'm all set. I'm good to go. I got no problem. And besides, it wasn't the exit row where that door popped off. It popped off where there wasn't supposed to be an exit. That's the whole problem with that whole scenario. So, all right, let's go.
We've got one more for Weird Wacky. That's you.
Okay. I was ready to move on. It's my turn. Apologies. This is a good one. Taco Bell, Pizza Hut are going AI, quote, AI first with fast food innovations. All right. So number one, there's just so much to unpack here. Okay. Number one, when I think about innovative fast food, Taco Bell and Pizza Hut are literally at the bottom of my list.
Who's at the top?
Chick-fil-A is at the top all the time.
Chick-fil-A. Okay.
Chick-fil-A is always at the top of my list. I feel like McDonald's tend to be a little more forward thinking.
Chipotle?
Well, I'm thinking fast food. I'm not thinking casual.
Not fast casual.
When I think of Taco Bell and Pizza Hut, I think of a 1980s building with carpet that should have been condemned 15 years ago. It feels so old, but they're going AI first. So apparently they're going to have an AI chatbot where their staff can ask the chatbot how to, I don't know, heat the oven or organize, how to do stuff. And I'm so wait, so you're going to have a chatbot that potentially hallucinates teaching your teenagers how to run ovens and stuff. This feels like a really bad idea.
Just easier to print a manual?
What I'm saying. Yeah. Go to page 45. Boom. This is how you do it. I don't see the problem. Have some posters up, some training posters, IKEA posters,
right.
For ovens and stuff.
And just tape it on the side.
Yeah. Like, and they also said something in the article about 45% of their orders are coming in through like the website or through devices or whatever, which is also, but like, again, why would you ever want to introduce AI into customer facing orders?
Right.
Because then you're going to have the same problem that the car dealership had, or that like that, yeah, that New York City's having. Like, it's like, okay, I want a taco pizza. We don't have a taco pizza. Sure, you have a taco pizza. And the chatbot's like, yeah, man, we got a taco pizza. You want that taco pizza? And they'll be like, sure, I want a taco pizza for 1 cent. And they'll be like, it's not 1 cent. I mean, it's like, yes, it is 1 cent. I mean, it's just, then you get a taco pizza for 1 cent. There's no taco pizza. It's just a recipe for disaster. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I don't understand. I think people are... Sometimes people see shiny technology and they're like, "Oh, we've got to do that too."
Yeah.
And here's the secret, people. No, you don't. You don't have to do it too.
You don't have to do that.
Mm-mm. It's okay.
Yeah. You don't have to do it. Tech wreck. Time to get your tech wreck. Tech 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 wreck. Chicky chicky. Tech wreck. Time to get your tech wreck. Okay, Sanjay, it's tech wreck time. What do you have for us this week?
So I've got something a lot larger than my usual tech wrecks.
I have
been searching and searching for a sit-stand desk, and I finally found the one that I bought, and I do like it. It's not perfect, like any desk is never perfect, but it's the Secret Lab Magnus Pro. Now, okay, I got to tell you, this thing is a beast. It is all metal construction, so even the top of it is metal, the desk part of it.
Yeah.
But you can get this faux leather like thing that lays on top of it, so you actually are on this kind of leatherette,
yeah,
working instead of right on the metal, which is cold. But the metal lets you do some really cool things. And I haven't gotten these yet, but there's these little magnetic cable channel things that you can get to keep cables in the right place because the whole thing is metal. So those,
yeah,
things you can place anywhere. So this is, it's a sit-to-stand desk. Some complaints online are like, when you have it all the way up, it's wobbly. Well, yeah, it's going to be wobbly because it's two legs and it's all the, yeah, way up. But
right,
honestly, you know, I have this bad thing of like hitting the desk and doing things like that. Like I'm, yeah, doing it right now.
Right.
I don't think you could see my camera really shaking at all.
No,
while I'm doing this. It's,
no,
it's pretty stable, the whole setup.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, there's a few things that I really like about this. The little adjustment things for the sit stand, it's got an on off switch so you can't accidentally hit it. But also they built it into the shell of the table so,
right,
that when you move your desk chair back and forth, you don't hit the controls because it's within the, like the frame of the desktop.
Right.
So it's really nice. It's got a channel in the back to hide all of your cables.
Dude, I love
gives
that.
Gives you a, yeah, really clean look. But if you don't want this table, if you don't want a sit stand table, they have actually a four legged table. But these tables are actually made for gamers. And what I found is a lot of times the products made for gamers are really, really nice.
Way better quality. Yeah.
Right.
I feel like gamers demand better quality than your average person does. And so,
right,
yeah, gamer stuff is great.
Yeah, exactly. This desk also has a built-in power column. So, yeah, I actually plug it in at the foot and then there's power up top,
yeah,
so that I don't have to worry about the cables when I'm doing the whole sit stand thing. Everything is kind of in sync. So it's not cheap, but it's really high quality. They make it here in the US in Texas and Utah. I ordered this and it was at my house in like 3 days.
Dude.
It was fantastic.
And it looks like it works with Apple HomeKit somehow too, which is interesting. And Google Assistant. So
maybe it does. I don't. Oh yeah. There is some like LED thing that you can get,
yeah,
on the back. And I think that somehow, yeah, I didn't get the light things because I'm not gaming on my desktop like that.
Yeah.
But it's really nice. I highly recommend it. If you're looking for a sit-stand desk, take a look at the Secret Lab Magnus Pro.
All right. I love it.
Okay.
Love
what,
it.
What about you, Adam? What do you have for us this week?
I'm going to go with the Apple MagSafe wallet. So totally different approach, but it's like a little, like it's a goofy, overly expensive thing because it's Apple branded. But so I'd say, you know, maybe look and see if you find an off brand. But what I like about it is like, it only holds three credit cards, which I find I can get away with just three cards.
Okay.
And it just, you know, slaps right on the back of my phone. And sometimes I keep it on the back of my phone and sometimes I don't. Like right now, it's actually in my pocket, independent from my phone.
Uh-huh.
But other times when I want to keep them together, I can pop it on the back of my phone, put my phone in my pocket, and I'm good to go. And
How does this attach? I'm unclear as to how it attaches to the phone.
It just pops on the phone, a magnet on it pops right on the back of the phone. Okay. Yeah. It's the MagSafe. It hits the MagSafe. And it's also nice too, because I've got a MagSafe holder that I've recommended on the show in my car. And so if I have the MagSafe wallet on, I can still pop it even with the wallet onto the MagSafe car mount and it still works.
Oh, which is
kind of shocking, but it's works like a great
pass through magnetic dealy.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it, but it's great. So it's worked really, really well.
That's kind of cool, actually. Yeah. So,
So I like it. It's worked out great. If you're looking for a change it up in the wallet game, it's worth considering. So,
Awesome.
All right, Sanjay, how can our listeners find and connect with you?
They can find me on my website, sanjayparekh.com. I've done some blog posts now, so it's not a dearth of stuff. And I'm working on another one to dissect the whole occasional wraps, gift wrap debacle.
Okay.
I don't know if debacle is the right word. Fiasco is not the right word either, but experiment.
Experiment
is probably the right word. Yeah. That's so the right word. Hopefully will be coming in the next couple of weeks here once I kind of churn through all the numbers.
Okay.
What about you, Adam? Where can we find you?
You can find me on my website, adamjwalker.com. I think I released a blog post this week. I think I did. I need to write a couple more, but yeah, they're coming. They're coming out. I got some about leadership, some about marketing. It's good stuff.
This is like me and you when we do Tech Talk, y'all, and people ask us afterwards, like, what did you talk about? I'm like, I don't
remember what I talked about at all.
It's just like doing blog posts. You're like, did I post that? I don't remember.
Listen, man, like listeners, you might not realize this, but like my wife could literally have a call with me in 5 minutes and be like, what did you talk about on Tech Talk, y'all? And I'll be like, I honestly don't know. I would have to go back and look at my show notes and be like, oh, this was interesting. Oh, this was interesting. But like, just off the top of my head, like I have no concept at all.
No
like,
idea.
I'm just no idea.
Yeah. So. We're 7 years in. Neither one of us knows anymore.
Yeah. So there you go.